Title of our thoughts tonight is from Nehemiah chapter 2. We have faith that works. Faith that works. In chapter 1, we saw that he cared enough to ask. He cared enough to weep. He cared enough to pray. And he cared enough to volunteer. And let's begin reading now at Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and he took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now it had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, your hand upon us as we look through these thoughts from Nehemiah. And Lord, we pray now that you would bless them. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Why should not my countenance be sad? When one ponders the great and well-known characters of the Bible, where would Nehemiah fit? Would he be in the top 10? In fact, let me give you a list of the heroes and let's see where he fits. Now, bear with me, and I must admit, this is one of those times I wish we were together so we could have some interaction. But let me begin naming some of the greats from the Bible, and maybe you can later text Donna and tell her where you think Nehemiah would fit. But listen, let's put Noah and Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Joseph at the top five. Job, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, and maybe Samson. How about Ruth as number 10? Samuel, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah. How about Jonah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel? We'll put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego together at number 21. How about Esther? John the Baptist? We certainly can't forget Mary. How about Peter, John, Paul? So we've got 26 I've listed there. Then the second tier of champions of the faith. Well, we'll put Nehemiah there for sure. So the question is, I wonder where Jesus or our Lord would put him. Remember this, one person can make a big difference in this world if that person knows the Lord and really trusts in him. Faith makes the difference. In chapter 1, we see Nehemiah cares, but in chapter 2, he puts his concerns into actions. And we all know that great phrase, actions speak louder than words. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Hebrews 11:1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2 says, For by it the elders obtained a good report. May I say this? Nehemiah would have received high marks because of his faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So verses 1 through 3 of Nehemiah 2, we find he had faith to wait. Faith to wait. Since the month Nisan is our mid-March to mid-April, it would indicate that 4 months have passed since Nehemiah received the bad news about the plight and condition of Jerusalem. Nehemiah patiently waited on the Lord for directions. Hebrews 6:12 says that, "Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." You know, sometimes we are always in a hurry. You know, we go to the ATM machine and we kind of fuss because the machine takes so long to take our check and give us back any money we may want. We go to the fast food places and we complain the food isn't fast enough. We go to shop at the grocery store, and boy, I tell you what, you get into the self-checkout lane, and boy, sometimes it just simply isn't fast enough. We just seem to always be in a hurry. Isaiah 28:16 says, "He that believeth shall not make haste." Warren Wiersbe writes, "We must know not only how to weep and pray, but also how to wait and pray." And this is what Nehemiah had been doing. It is written, "When you wait on the Lord in prayer, you are not wasting your time, you are investing it." How about one of the greatest verses on waiting? We'll find that, of course, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Eastern monarchs were sheltered from anything that might bring them unhappiness. Nehemiah could no longer hide, though, his sorrow. The giver of Proverbs, Solomon, said, "By sorrows of the heart, the spirit is broken." Proverbs 15:13. I think there are many people who are sorrowing even in this time right now. And I'll be honest with you, we can wonder, what does the future hold? Nehemiah, I believe, had a broken heart. He had heard about the situation there in Jerusalem, how the walls that were down and the gates were burned and the people were mocked, and he was concerned. Each morning he may have awakened praying, "Lord, if today is the day I speak to the king about the plans, then open the way for me." Open the way. The king noticed that his cupbearer was carrying a burden and asks, "Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." Now, the king could have had Nehemiah replaced, banished, or even executed, but the Lord had prepared the king's heart for this very moment. Solomon wrote, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will." Proverbs 21, verse 1. World leaders are only God's servants, whether they know it or not. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6 says, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathens? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Yes, the heart of the king, the heart of the president, is in the hand of the Lord. Point one, he had the faith to wait. 2 Corinthians 1:24 says, "For by faith we stand." How important it is that during this time that we stand. As I pass one of the churches on my way to work, on their sign it says, "Keep the faith." And the fact of the matter is, we need to keep the faith. Point number two, he had the faith to ask. When the opportunity availed itself, he had the faith to ask. And let me read to you verses 4 through 8. Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. He had the faith to ask. Nehemiah, the king said, What is it you want? What an opportunity. All the power and wealth of the kingdom was wrapped up in that question. As he was accustomed to do, Nehemiah sent a quick prayer to the Lord. Some 8 quick prayers are recorded in this book. This prayer was backed up by 4 months of prayers and fasting. He had been praying all along that the Lord at the right time would have it be that the king would ask the right question. And sometimes it's hard to wait. How many of you have prayed for something for days, weeks, months, maybe even years, and you're hoping that someday the Lord will reveal it, that he will do it? George Morrison writes from his book, Morning Sermons, a book of daily devotions, he had only an instant for that prayer. Silence would have been misinterpreted. Had he closed his eyes and lingered in devotion, the king immediately would have suspected treason, unquote. And so quickly he prayed. You know, some prayers are going to be very, very quick. You know, if someone is struggling in water, you're not going to have a long prayer. You're just going to say, Lord, help me. You know, if there is a situation where there's a car accident and you see smoke coming from the car, you're not going to make a long prayer about what to do. You're going to go and see if you can help. And at this very moment, there was a quick prayer so that the Lord would bless and touch the king's heart. Where Nehemiah had to wait to make his petitions, we can boldly come to the throne of grace at any moment with our request. Let me read to you from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, and beginning at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Aren't you glad that we have that promise? Boldly means freedom of speech. Jewish rabbis often answer a question with a question. Nehemiah did the same. The king, why is thy countenance sad? Nehemiah, why should not my countenance be sad? Why is thy countenance sad? Well, why should not my countenance be sad? Luke 21, 14 and 15. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Nehemiah showed his love for his country by asking the king for permission to return to the homeland to restore Jerusalem. Too often, patriotism is short-lived, just like one's love for the church and for the Lord himself. How often I've seen it where someone gets excited about the Lord and about the church, and for 2 weeks or a month and a half, you can't keep them out of church, and they're all excited, and then it passes by. You ever been driving down the road and some guy in a pickup truck has the American flag flying from the back of his truck, and you wonder, how often does he do that? Or is he just excited today about his country? The United States ambassador to the United Nations, Adlai Stevenson, said that patriotism was not a short and frenzied outburst of emotion, but the tranquil and steady dedication of a lifetime. You know, it's what we need from believers, is a lifetime of service, faithfully serving the Lord. And we thank God for those who at the Covenant Baptist Church have been serving the Lord for many, many years. Of course, we thank God for everyone that comes, but we, you know, we think about those who have given 20, 30, 40, 50 years to the cause of Christ, and what a blessing that is. Not only had Nehemiah prayed for this opportunity, but he had obviously planned for this, and he had his answer ready. He had thought the matter through and knew exactly how he would approach the king concerning the project, knowing he only had this one opportunity. Nehemiah knew he could not leave his post without the king's approval, nor could he go to work in Jerusalem without the authority of the king. We know that Ezra had tried once to work in Jerusalem, but the local authorities had stopped him. Nehemiah wanted the authority to go to Judea and to do the work necessary in Jerusalem. Nehemiah wanted letters of introduction that would guarantee him safe travel between Shushan, the palace, and Jerusalem. Though Nehemiah had been commissioned by the Lord to do this great work, he wanted to show respect to the authorities along the way. And we need to make sure that we are showing respect to authorities. And, you know, it's a fact is that we're meeting this way because authorities have said it's best if we are not out and amongst each other. It could be that May 15th, that things will end in the way of a quarantine and people could start going back to church. Now you say, Pastor Paul, have you begun giving thoughts as to how we're going to do this? And yes, and I plan to talk to our people about it soon to get some more thoughts on it. But I'm sure things will be different when we go back to church for a while. And we'll, of course, have singing and we'll have preaching and whatnot. But it may be that our offerings will not be received with a tray, but in a box. We'll see how things work. But this brings us to point number three. He had faith to challenge others. Faith to challenge others. First, in traveling, let's begin reading at verses 9 and 10. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had set captains of the army and horsemen with them. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Traveling along the way, he had to have faith. The letters were given to him, but he knew there would be opposition. Just as often there is opposition to the preaching of the gospel, we must continue to take the gospel. We find that investigating what was needed to be done showed his faith too. He could have looked at it and said, oh, this is far more than I can handle, and simply gone home. Many have left the job because they thought it was too hard. Let's begin reading at verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. He has come, and he begins to see the great task that lays before him. And as he looks at it, I wonder if a tear began to run down his cheek. This could not have been an easy challenge to build the walls again. And it's not like he had a Home Depot or a Lowe's or a Menards to run to and get a generator to run electric tools. It wasn't like he had a hoist or some type of machinery. This was going to be a major task to rebuild the walls so that they could give security. But he had faith in the Lord that the job could be done. So he had faith to challenge others in traveling, investigating, but then in challenging, beginning at verse 17. Then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us, and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them, and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. He encourages the people that have gone back with him. He encourages the people that are there. He gives them his thoughts and challenges them to get the job done. And they said, let us do it. Sometimes it's hard to motivate people, but we find Nehemiah was able to do it. Sometimes when someone has been under the sound of the gospel for weeks, months, decades, they've heard it all. They know the next word coming out of the pastor's mouth. Sometimes they're hard to be motivated, but the fact of the matter is we need to be motivated for the cause of Christ. Here we find Nehemiah was motivated to get the wall done. He had faith that he could challenge both his people to do it and to challenge those that were against it. He was able to take the laughter and the scorn and push it aside because there was a task to be done. There's a task to be done even today. It may be more difficult, but the fact is it needs still to be done. The Word of God needs to be preached and taught. And I am so glad that you've tuned in even tonight to be encouraged to stay true to the Word. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for Nehemiah. We thank you for men and women who are willing to be used, who take the challenge and are victorious. Help us, Lord, to be challenged even this night to serve you faithfully. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.